make me more like you. Change me, oh God. Wash me.
Yeah. Yes, he will.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good evening, family. Good evening, good evening. Am I on? I'm just hoping
good evening.
I was unmuted.
Good evening. How are you this wonderful evening?
I am making it. I won't complain. I can't do that.
It wouldn't do any good.
Sure wouldn't.
Amen. Well, welcome.
Amen. So, good evening, family. I am grateful. I'm grateful to be here before you today, just because God has granted me the opportunity one more time. I know Pastor E saw it on Facebook. I'm not for sure too many of you are my Facebook friends, but on last week, I was dealing with a blood pressure of 221 over 108 was the highest it had got. I went in the hospital, it was like 191 over something. So from like Tuesday until Saturday, I was dealing with the blood pressure, and they decided to keep me in the hospital. So by the grace and the mercy of God, I am yet still here. He spared my life. He gave me new mercies, blessed me with healing that I am before you today. So I don't take this for granted, and I don't take this lightly. And it's not that God always has to get my attention with sickness, but sometimes some of that stuff do get my attention. I'm like, yes, God, I'm still running on for you. I'm going to still be here. So that's exactly what we're going to talk about this evening. But before we get started, please let's go before him in a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you for yet another day, God. I thank you and praise you for your grace and your tender mercy, Lord. I just ask, Father, that you begin to touch the hearts and the minds of your people, Lord, that have tuned in and will continue to tune in to this broadcast, Lord. I ask, Father, that you enlighten us, open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our understanding. Help us to see you and what it is that you have for each and every individual, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your people are seeking more of you and something from you. So, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Father, that you will get the glory out of all things, Father, that you, the words that you give me to give to your people, Lord, will penetrate in their hearts, do something miraculous, wonderful, bring about that change that they have been so desperately seeking. Father, I ask, Father, that you rain upon me, Lord. I ask that you wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, remove self out the way, that you get all the glory in Jesus' name. So again, family, I just wanted to come to you because, you know, just on my journey, there is a cost for saying yes. There is a cost for saying yes to the call of God. And I just want to, again, just kind of talk. You know how I am. I just want to talk. I want to talk about real life situations. I want to bring it in to today. We're going to go Bible, but I want to bring it into today because I want you to understand what that looks like. So you understand that some of the things that you're going through or will go through is the cost of the yes that you gave God for the call that he called upon your life. And we'll get there. So I want to get ahead of myself, but I do want to open up with Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 22. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 32, 22. And it starts off saying, the same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Highlight that word, left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of a joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. There's the call. For you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Amen. So I chose this scripture because I wanted to give a visual. I'm a visual person, so if you can just kind of visualize Jacob wrestling with this man, with God, and Jacob's hip being touched and placed out of socket. Because then it goes on to say, the sun rose upon him, and he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. So understand, this wasn't a momentary thing. Jacob now was going to have this limp now for the rest of his life. What happens is when you accept the call, there is a permanent alteration of your life. Please let me say that again. When you say yes, I'm doing them interchangeably, yes and accepting the call. When you say yes to God, understand there is a permanent alteration of your life. Some people think that as leaders and men and women of God that are called by God, that when we say yes, that life somehow is easy. I don't know where they got that from, but I'm not talking about the life being easy of the mega preachers but understand, God gifted them. So you're looking at them and saying, okay, they got it easy. Okay, so let me back that up. What I'm trying to say is, even the preachers that have mega ministries, they do not have it easy, though it may appear or seem easy. Okay. And God gifted them for that. And understand that whom much is given, much is required. And on top of that, much testing of their faith. So we can't downplay that, because guess what? Moses was the first mega preacher, because he had a congregation of 600,000 men, not including women and children. So Moses was the first mega preacher, so we're not downplaying. We also know the tests and trials that Moses is going to get into. Let me talk about that, because for one, we know Moses was well taken care of, okay? So that's not the point, because we know the people and the children of Israel took care of Moses. Moses was not broke. Please read your Bible. Moses was not broke, but we also know that Moses paid a price for saying yes. Moses paid a price for saying yes, okay? So understand that there's always a wrestle with God when the call comes. So I'm going to get back to Jacob, but let me just try to paint this picture when it comes to Moses. Okay, so if I remember correctly, God spoke to Moses. Moses was like, why are you calling me? I'm not trying to do that. I don't want to go. I can't speak. I can't. He wrestled back and forth with God verbally as to why, he should accept this call. But understand that we all do that at times. We go back and forth and back and forth with God and say, are you really and truly calling me? Okay. And I think the thing is that what most people are afraid of, they're afraid of what's going to come next. And I'm sorry, men and women, God, you can't be in control of what's going to happen next. Okay? Remember, the people got on Moses' nerves, but he couldn't cuss them out. Remember, he argued with his own family, but he couldn't turn his back on them. And he was even told way before time that he wasn't going to make it into the promised land. But he still led the people, okay? So there still is a price that you pay to say yes. Your cost may not be my cost. And on top of that, we're not going to sit up here and try to say mine is higher than yours and yours is higher than mine. No, because your cost is your cost. Because some people might be like, okay, you sitting up there crying about a headache, and some people walking around with headaches every day. Your cost is your, mine is not yours, is yours is not mine, okay? So it's costing me something. So back to Jacob. I don't want to stay on Moses, but I just want to use that as an example. So back to Jacob, because Jacob wrestled with God, and I can definitely understand that. I can truly, because we're not talking about the kind of wrestle like the WWE fake SmackDown type of wrestle. I'm talking about this is physical, emotional, and mental wrestling with God. Are you hearing me? Because accepting the call, you're going to go through emotionally, mentally, and physically when accepting the call. I'm not trying to distract anyone from saying yes. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is get you to say yes and be able to stand in your yes, already knowing what may take place in your life. Because what happens is that things come upon people and they begin to act surprised. Like me? Why me? Why am I going through this? Why did this happen to me? Why that I don't I need people to be able to stand. Even when it comes to me, my life situations, and my tests and trials, sometimes there's things that come upon me, and for a quick second, I do go there, and then I say, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. You're going to do what you're going to do. It's going to turn out. I can't do nothing no more with the situation than you're going to allow the situation to be. And it takes time to get there, but the thing, only reason why it took time for me to get there is because nobody taught me. They was like, just say, put your hands up, say yes to God, speak in tongues, lay before the Lord. There it is. You got it, and this, that, and the other, and saying yes, and then nobody prepared me for the after the yes. There was some tests and some trials that came after that yes. And I'm the first one to tell you I didn't stand very well. That's why I'm trying to teach this, to get us to be able to stand better. Because right now we're living in a time that too many are falling by the wayside. And I'm not talking about people that just joined the church last week. I'm talking about people that's been in the church 30 years, 20 years, 15 years, or 5 years, because when the tests and trials come up upon them, they're not standing, trusting and believing God on what he's doing with their life. Okay? So, first let me explain, when it comes to the call, because, listen, when I almost got weary and well-doing, y'all know that's Galatians 6 and 9, right? I almost got weary and well-doing myself. When I say I did a shutdown, this last couple months or whatever, I had to do a shutdown because I felt myself about to get weary. I felt myself about to be one of the ones that's been in the church a long time and not to turn away from God. That's not what I wanted to do. I was going to stay with God, but this call thing, yeah, we was going to have to renegotiate that. But you know you can't renegotiate with God, right? So first let me explain something about the call and about saying yes, okay? There is one call, but many different levels to that call, okay? So understand, there's one call, but there's many different levels to the call. Peter was called, so we all agree on that. We agree that Peter was called. But the first level that Peter was called to was to be a fisherman. That was his teaching ground. That was where he learned something. That was where he was be able to you know, where his ministry was going to come from. That's what Jesus said. Now I'm going to make you fishers of men. So the first thing was Peter had to learn to do about toiling all night long, repairing the nets, catching stuff you don't want to catch, throwing back stuff you know you can't use. Sometimes you catch about 4 fish. Some nights you catch, you know, thousands of fish. Sometimes his first call was learning to be a fisherman because God was going to use that. So what if you're on your first level of call, understand that God is going to use what you do naturally for spiritual use, okay? So there are some things that you're doing naturally, whether you are an administrator, whether you are a fisherman, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a author, whether you know how to write real well, whether he's going to use that. So understand your first level of call is who you are right now. So, and then we understand that the next level of call was disciple. So Peter went from being called from a fisherman to the next level of that same call to disciple, when Jesus called him and say, follow me. And Peter got up and followed Jesus. Then we know the last call or the last level was him as an apostle. Okay, so there's one call, but there's many different levels to that call. So don't get stagnated on one level, because there's going to be many different levels that God is going to take you through. But men and women of God, I'm telling you, you got to stand sure on your yes, though, because I don't want you to delay getting to where God has you, because he can't just promote you just on what we use in the streets, just on GP. Just because, no, you still have to pass the test. You still have to be able to stand. He still has to be able to trust you, that you're not going to turn your back on him, that you're not going to turn your back. He still has to be able to do this. So guess what? On every level, you're going to get tested. I know I'm way behind on my schedule where I'm supposed to be. But only God, what he said, he restores the years that the cankerworm has through. So I'm asking God to help me to play, you know, catch up to where I'm supposed to be in my call, because every level, man, it got harder. Oh, my God, it got harder and harder. And I'm going to tell you about that in just a few minutes. So each level of the call, there is a wrestle. Sorry, it's not a one-and-done wrestle. You wrestle at every level. That yes on every level is going to cost you something, okay? So I need to know, for those that are on this broadcast, are you really ready to say yes? Are you really ready to say yes and have your faith tested? Are you really ready to say yes and say no to yourself? Are you really ready to say yes and have your night times last longer than your days? Are you really ready? I'm not saying that it's not easy, but I'm saying it is easy once you say yes and once you understand what that yes is going to come with, but also you understand who will never leave you and forsake you, which is God. He's not going to call you into something that he's not going to prepare you for. He's not going to call you into something that he's just going to leave you and say, hey, you on your own. That's not the God that we serve, y'all. So don't be afraid of the yes, because you have the best person there for you, which is God and the Holy Spirit, that will always direct you and guide you. I don't care who else ain't there for you. God is not going to call you and leave you. Okay? So I know we are not saying yes wholeheartedly. And you know how I know we're not saying yes wholeheartedly? Because we kind of like these new age marriage vows, I always say. Most people get up in front of church and then they say, I do. But now it's I do until I get tired. I do until it gets too hard. I do till it starts hurting. Or I do until it starts costing me. You can't have that kind of yes to God. Yes, God, I'll do it until I get tired. Yeah, yes, God, I'll do it until it gets too hard. Oh, yeah, oh, well, when it start hurting, God, I'm going to change my yes. No, I'm not staying that long. I'm just here for a little while. I'm just here for on the retirement plan. There is no retirement plan and there is no quitting. I'm sorry. Valoris tried. I try to look it all up in the manual. See, where is my retirement plan? Where can I collect my pension? All of the prayers that I put in, can I get that out on 401k? I tried, and it ain't there. So when you're ready to say yes, you're ready to say yes for a lifetime. It says, if we were really saying yes, then the world would not consider us as Christians a joke. That's the thing that also I looked at when preparing this lesson, because we're not saying wholeheartedly, we half-heartedly saying it, and that's why the people in the world or the people in the streets are looking at the church like it's a joke, because, again, they're looking at us thinking we're doing the same thing that they're doing. We're not wholeheartedly saying yes. They can find us in the same places that they in. They can find us doing the same thing that they can do, you know, that they're doing. So you know the ones that are wholeheartedly saying yes, and you know the ones that who are half-heartedly saying yes. Because I don't care if you have the Holy Ghost in you or you have a demon in you. Both respect God. So you got to have more God in you in order for the respect. Because even in 1 Timothy, the scripture says, now this Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. So I put that in there because, again, like I was saying, so many are falling away. And they're falling away by the scripture, but they're also falling away because, you know, the tests and trials, just they get hard. And they don't know how to stand. I remember, I don't think it was last year, I think it was the year before, where it was like all of a sudden I'm seeing, you know, a news feed of different, you know, things that I subscribe to of these pastors committing suicide. And that hurts my heart on two different levels. Number one, we got to be able to trust God no matter how bad it gets. And number two, I understand because I've also walked in those shoes, wanting to quit and give up just that bad as well. Because sometimes that test and that trial, man, it comes, ooh, they say it comes to make you strong. I almost beg to differ on some of them, okay? This is happening because our yes is turning into a maybe, or when I want God, or God, I want you to do it on my time, or God, I want you to do it my way. You can't have that kind of yes. You can't have that kind of yes. That God, I want you when I want you, or God, I want you to do it how I want you to do it, or God, not now when I'm ready. No, the yes has to come as soon as the call comes, okay? The word of God in 1 Peter says, 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. He has called you and chosen you, but you still have to say yes. Understand that. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He has called you out of your darkness into the light, but you still have to give him a yes. He ain't going to come in and snatch you. He's not going to do that. You still have to say, yes, Lord. It was a beautiful thing that God was speaking to me the other night, and I just was, you know, in a little frustration and confusion and, you know, things like that, and I just was riding, and I was praying to God, and God just politely said, he said, you need me to come get you, baby? And I was like, God, can you please come get me? Because I know God knows exactly where I am. No matter in the test, the trial, this frustration, I have to call on God. If, as they say, if you don't know, if you can't say too much, I just be like, Lord, I'm God, here I am. I don't even know what to say. Can you please just read my heart right now? Because I don't even have any words. And he just spoke to me so kind. He says, you need me to come get you? Yes. Please come get me. I'm on the corner of confused and frustrated lane right now. God will come and get you. All right. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Again, he doesn't want anyone to be lost. He doesn't want anyone to feel that your situations, your tests, your trials have come against you in order for you not to be saved. He didn't bring those tests and trials into your life for you to turn from them. No, he did that for you to run more to him. And on top of that, to get a deeper connection of his character, to get to extract the wisdom and the understanding out of that test and trial so it be for the building of your faith and also the testifying for somebody else's faith. That's what it come to do. It didn't come to kill you. He said, I don't want nobody lost. I desire for everybody to be saved. Don't give up now because you told me yes. My God, my first yes, so let me just give you a little bit. My first yes as a deaconess, when my husband was a deacon and I was a deaconess, my first yes as a deaconess cost me the loss of my family. My family was back in Milwaukee. I was living in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I was in a holy church, and because my family was not saved, my saying yes as a deaconess cost me my family for some time because I had to separate myself from them. They were still partying and drinking and smoking, and I couldn't do that. So it cost me being separated from the ones that I loved and the ones that loved me. My second yes came when I was an evangelist. That when I became an evangelist, that cost me being shunned a little bit by my then husband, who was a deacon at the time. I don't know if he was looking at it as a rank higher than him, but I did have some responsibility. But that cost me some arguments in my marriage. And I couldn't believe that because, again, how can you argue what God is doing? But understand, people still live in the flesh, and the enemy knows how to work. My third yes as a minister and administrator cost me a whole lot of friendship, cost me a whole lot of confusion because people looking at me like, who is she? She just, they didn't know I was a minister or I had been doing this years before. So once I got settled in my new church, and I spoke with my pastor there and told him, you know, where I came from and what I was able to do, then he was able to give me some responsibilities and things to do. Man, the people looked at me like I had gone crazy. Oh, my goodness, they tried to do all kinds of stuff, basically almost made me run up out the church. So it cost you relationships where I didn't have a connection with anyone. I actually was solo for a long time because nobody wanted to speak to me. Nobody wanted to connect to me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. But I yet and still had to do what God had called me to do. Then when I went, my fourth yes was as an assistant pastor in training. That cost me my marriage. I told y'all that story. Huh. I told y'all that story when my ex-husband came up to me and was like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be nobody's first man. I don't want to do this. What? So it cost me my marriage, but I still had to say yes to God. There, you have to trust God the entire time. Was that marriage put together by God? Probably not. We probably did that. That's a whole nother show. We ain't going to get on that. But I'm trying to let you understand, every level was a wrestle. Every level was I can't do this. Every level, like, it was, God, why is you putting me through this? Every level was I was looking back at people I had lost, friends I had lost, marriages I had lost, all kinds of things I had lost, and I'm still trying to press forward with this yes, but yet and still I'm pressing forward with the yes, and I ain't got nothing. Whew. You better be really ready to say yes. But I'm telling you, there's been some glorious times and still more glorious times to come. So, again, I'm not trying to give you the bad part for you to turn away. I'm trying to get you prepared to be able to stand because babies, honeys, men and women of God, trust me, it's not going to get any better on the side of the enemy because the enemy is trying to knock us off one by one like bowling pins, for real. We have got to be able to stand. You, as for God I live, for God I die. I heard you say it. Oh, yes, I did. You might be in a different state, but I was there when I heard you say it. For God I live and for God I die. But as soon as the test and trial come, all of a sudden, who the first person to go? God? Really? We can't do that. The people out here are dying and they need us. We can't die with them. We have to be able to stand. Okay, and so definitely some more, you know, then I was ordained as a pastor, went through the ordination after my training, that cost me, and then my last and final yes, but it's not my final, but my last yes, but it's not my final yes, was this yes that came this year where God want me to go into full ministry, and we wrestled with that thing, and all of a sudden my health started failing, all of a sudden my kids started acting up, all of a sudden oh my God, everything just went haywire in my life. I said yes and was happy today. I was like, okay, God, all right, I accept it. Made my little, put my, you know, wrote down everything that he said, everything I heard, put together the little chart of, you know, the ministry and so on and so forth. And I sat up there just in peace and accepting of the will of God. And yes, I finally said yes. Oh, this is going to be so beautiful. No. All hell broke out loose. But I've been still standing on my yes because I trust God. So, in my closing, Pastor V, what is the saying yes for real really going to cost me? Do you really want to know? I can only speak from experience. It will cost you being talked about. It will cost you being alone. It will cost you time. It will cost you giving up the pleasures of this world for God. It will cost you your loved ones and your friends. It will cost you even losing battles with your own self. It will cost you having to start over and over and over and about 50 more overs. Okay, it's going to cost you that. It's going to cost you difficult times and struggles. It's going to cost you time on your knees and even hours in prayer to get a breakthrough for yourself, and not even including adding the people that need your prayers. I'm just talking about for yourself. It's going to cost you heartbreak. Oh, my God, I already told you about the heartbreak that I done had, you know, saying yes to God. It's going to cost you great fatigue and tiredness. It's going to cost you something. I went to the doctor today for a checkup after, you know, my follow-up visit, and I told the doctor, I said, you know, my blood pressure back down normal, but I'm still having these headaches, and I'm, you know, hearing this clicking sound in my jaw, and, you know, of course, I'm always Dr. Google. I will Google something in a minute. So I had already was like, you know, I looked at the, you know, symptoms of TMJ. He said, you know, are you grinding your teeth that night? I said, probably when I had my headache real bad last week from the high blood pressure, I probably was grinding, you know, my teeth. So he was, you know, touching and feeling my jaw. He's like, you got a lot of inflammation there. And so then he said, well, let me just check your, you know, your neck area. And he touched my neck. He said, ain't no muscle. That's a bone. Why are you so tense? Why? You need to relax. And I'm looking at him like, huh, tell that to God. I wish I could relax, you know. And there are times that I will take for relaxation. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that when you're trying to go harder for God than the hard struggle against you, it's going to put you, man, it's like your arm's been up just punching and punching and punching and punching and punching, and those muscles all in you just get tight at times. Because I've been constantly trying to punch my way through this. So it's going to cost you those things. But again, I'm not trying to deter you from saying yes. I want you to be able to stand. Because men and women of God, I, you know, myself and some others that I know, the tests and trials that leaders and people of ministry and those that are, you know, professing God, saved, going to church, trying to live a godly life, they're going through some tests, serious tests. And I don't want to see anyone fall out because of those tests. I don't want to see anyone turn their back or quit doing what God has called you to do because of those tests. The people of God need you. The world needs you. As I said, God don't need you. He can replace you, but he called you for a purpose because he needs you to do what he has called you to do. So there is a need from God as well. So there is a cost of saying yes, but there also is a beautiful, oh my gosh, when I can say just the things, the blessings that come from saying yes. I can definitely counteract the cost with the blessings. And you already know those. I don't have to tell you. Listen, just me waking up in the morning is blessing enough for me. I ain't got to have a car with four wheels. It can be a car with three. I don't care. As long as I woke up in the morning, I'm blessed. Because so many are not. For whatever, they're not. I need us to get our work done while we are yet still living. I need for us to sincerely put out prayers in the atmosphere for the strength for the men and women of God to help them go through their tests. Yes, we do need to pray for ourselves, but it just takes you a second and say, Lord, those that are on the battlefield for you right now, please give them extra strength. And do you know how many people that will reach? And do you know it will reach that one person at that right time that was about to quit? So please, let's do that. So at this time, I'm going to have Pastor E to come in, back in, and join us. And I'm hoping that what I taught blessed you all. And he's going to open up the phone lines for any comments or questions that anyone has. But I definitely wanted to give you, I can't preach past my experience. I definitely can't do that. Sister girl been going through it. But I'm staying on the battlefield as strong as I can, even sitting right now on a heating pad. I'm staying on as strong as I can because I told God yes. And he deserves every part of yes that I gave him without question.
That's right. He deserves the why, the E, and the yes. You know, we say yes, but a lot of times we're not willing to give the fullness of that commitment. Oh, awesome teaching, awesome testimony, awesome word this evening. Give you an opportunity to get in this on this conversation here on Women Speak Now and be heard. Dial one will bring you into the queue, and you can comment with Pastor Valoris this evening. Amen. Don't be scared. And yes, we have a board full of listeners tonight, but I think when the word goes forward, sometimes people are just like, look, that was everything I needed to now understand what I'm getting myself into. And what a better teacher than experience.
Yeah. And understand that I really, you know, I really want to get this out. And like I said, if you understood right now what I was going through, even getting this word out, I'm for real. I am actually sitting on a heating pad. My head is pounding. My jaw is clicking with every word that I am saying. And the doctor told me to go home and shut up. But I was like, no, I got to do a radio broadcast. So understand, I can't let my body, my mind, no doctor or nobody stop me from doing what I know God has called me to do. Because I know if I take care of God's business, God will take care of me. And
that's
he has not failed me yet. So please dial in. I do want to hear y'all comments. Let me just.
Amen. Well, I gave you my comments. Awesome word. I've been blessed. I know many of our listeners that are at work in different places like that will be listening on our archives, but we always get great responses from every Women Speak Now broadcast. But definitely the new fresh anointing that has come with Pastor Valoris has been dynamic. Well, this has been great. God bless you guys. We want you to be free. We want you to be free of the decision you made not to be in bondage. We want you to be free of any past experiences that keep holding you back from actually, you know, living out and following that yes that you said to him. I mean, it's dynamic and it's prolific that we honor God with our yes, but we better learn to say no so our yeses can really mean yes. God bless you, family. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. And yes, be free and free indeed. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless.
Are you free indeed? Because he whom the Son sets free is free in. Come on, church. He whom the Son sets free is free. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, he said that from tonight forward, your behavior, your appetite will be a reflection of your freedom. So you won't just be free indeed, but you'll be free in deeds. Put your hand on your neighbor, tell him your behavior will be a reflection of your freedom. Free indeed. I need y'all to raise that up all over this room. Get your hands up, say free. Come on, Bob, let's sing it. Listen, y'all. It's been years. You're still struggling with the same fear. What if I lose it all?
You can still call on Jesus.
No more tears. Now you be free, free. Oh God. Everybody, just say free indeed. Say
free.
I am in a high. what he did, 'cause he hears all my secrets. Hey,
had a call on Jesus.
No more guilt, no more shame, 'cause you cleared my name. I'll never be the same, but I'll be set
free.
Y'all got it? Look at somebody telling me he had my secret. On your feet, and I want you to prophesy over your own life. Say,
free.